Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome back to Ruthless Aggression. I am Pierce, joined by Rob and Chris as always. Start this off, podcast off saying RIP Young Dolph. We start with death. We'll end with death. We just decided to combine the next 2 weeks up because we don't want to watch the shows of the week preceding or succeeding the passing of Eddie Guerrero. But we'll talk about Eddie, his life, his tragically short life, and how his death really impacted professional wrestling in the aftermath. But we'll get to that at the end of the podcast. We have so much to get to. We had a pay-per-view this past Saturday, AEW's Full Gear. Full disclosure, did not watch. And honestly, I don't really have the energy to watch it. I've been working I've just finished 8 of 9 straight. I'm getting ready to go to Chicago for football and basketball. I ain't got time for wrestling right now. I honestly don't even know if I'll have time for SummerSlam. This is the second time I've called it SummerSlam. That tells you enough. Survivor Series. But we'll predict Survivor Series, WWE's annual All-Star Week. You're seeing everybody pop up on national TV. I forgot who I saw on daytime TV today, and I was like, "Oh shit, they're on daytime TV."
I know Becky did a few different shows today.
Becky was on the MMA Hour with Ariel Helwani.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting comments there. Her and let's just start there when we talk about Survivor Series 2021, and we'll start with the title versus the champ versus the champ. In Becky Lynch versus Charlotte, the barbs have gotten louder, and like I don't believe for a fact that they're friends, but they're definitely playing into it because they have to. You know, this is a major match. This is a match. Honestly, if they want to main event, they can main event this. They can kick it off with Roman and Big E and main event with this match because it is absolute hot. And you know, I sensed it from when I was at MGM and Charlotte did her pre-SummerSlam interview, got that pay-per-view right, that you know there's some friction between the two of them. We obviously know that. I love that. I know that I'm living on the East Coast now because I'll randomly hear my space heater. that's a thing again. Oh my god.
Yeah.
You know, from the events of the last couple weeks, they don't fuck with each other, but they're definitely playing into it now. And I think Vince is giving them the go ahead, like, hey, you know, whatever you guys got to get off the chest. Once you guys get in the ring Sunday, let's go. So I'm looking forward to that one.
Yeah. It's pretty, I mean, you know, for the past however many years, I think we can pretty much discern that, you know, maybe they had a falling out. Maybe they don't like each other or whatever, but I think that part is true. But I also agree that they're definitely playing it up because at the end of the day, both of them know that a match of this caliber and a match between two superstars like themselves is going to make money. And they're business people. They know what they're doing. They know what works.
Yeah.
So they're obviously going to play into the drama. They know that people on Twitter especially are going to feed into it. They know what's going to work the crowds or whatever. So, I mean, of course that they're going to do this. And if and when down the road it happens, I would expect the same thing with Becky and Ronda.
Mm-hmm.
They may hate each other's guts. They may not like each other, but guess what? They're going to make a lot of money. So of course they'll do the same thing. And I mean, even especially with Becky and Ronda, because apparently they're repped by the same agent.
Yeah.
So of course they're going to do something like that.
Yeah, exactly. No, and I think, you know, they are playing into it a little bit. The bits and pieces that I saw from that video they put out today did a really good job. I want to go back and watch the whole thing.
Yeah, because they built to, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they make me very, that video made me very mad that I'm going to be in Chicago and not New York for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, and those are good. They should do those more often, I think. But yeah, no, I think, you know, Becky and Charlotte are playing it up a little bit. I think the shit with Rick is a completely separate thing, but yes. He's just fucking knows that all of his opportunities are gone now, so he doesn't care anymore.
What's happening with that?
He's got a new podcast to promote. So, yeah,
exactly.
You know, but
why did he get rid of the? I mean, on WWE. Never mind. I was going to ask why did he get rid of the old one. So is it like? Does it even matter if it's a sequel or a continuation of the old podcast? It really doesn't. What did he say on the podcast?
He just, you know, he pointed out like Charlotte and Sasha as like the stars and, you know, and then just kind of doubled down on it on Twitter and was like, you know, I sold the trademark to the man as a favor to you. I didn't even make money off of it or whatever. And he's just, I mean, he's
what does Rick have to sell?
Yeah. I mean, that's
like, that's a genuine question. Like, he doesn't own a trademark for the man. Like,
no, I don't. I mean,
whatever.
You know, like I said, he's never probably going to be in WWE again. He's at this point. I think the door is closed on AEW as well. I think before Dark Side of the Ring. Well,
I don't know about all.
Yeah,
I don't. Yeah, I mean, just look at Hogan.
Yeah, I mean. But he clearly he wants to get his name out there, I think, to both promote the podcast and, you know,
because he wants to be the center of attention because he's Ric Flair.
And he wants certain Google results to not be on the first page compared to, you know, stuff like this instead.
Exactly,
so, I mean, it's he's working, too. I just don't think the other two are in on it.
No.
Where, you know, the match itself, I mean, I think probably Becky's going to win. It's hard to tell with these matches because really, you know.
I mean, it's Becky Lynch we're talking about. I mean, you can say whatever about Charlotte. Yeah, I mean, I think they view her high in favor and whatnot, but she's probably not even top three or top four in the company anymore.
Is Charlotte the most, like, extra person backstage that we've seen in WWE since Shawn Michaels?
She's up there.
I would hazard, yeah. At least what we know and what's visible.
Because,
mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure that there's other people, but I think based on what's visible, yeah, I would say Charlotte is up there.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's just annoying the fuck out of me now. And, like, I, you know, and I love Charlotte. She is the queen. She, to me, is the greatest of all time when we talk about modern-day women's wrestling. But this shit is very unnecessary, and it's very bitchy, and it's I don't fuck with it. And for that reason, like, I don't think that this match has a finish. I don't know how you get a finish that is, I mean, Vince doesn't care. Vince is going to do what Vince wants to do.
Yeah.
And the ladies got to fall in line. But I can see both of them throwing a bitch fit over this. Becky would be in the right to, because she just got back from motherhood. Why is she losing this early? Da, da, da. Realistically, Charlotte should eat the pin. But you know for a fact, Charlotte's going to complain about having to eat the pin, because what was the last time that she really beat Becky clean and without any kind of loophole to it?
Yeah.
It's been a long
counting,
time.
Not counting the thing with Bayley, because that was definitely like, there was a point for that. You know? It's been a really long time since that's happened, so I could easily see her throwing a fit to it.
Yeah, I don't know, if you go with like a DQ finish or.
I mean, they had no problem doing that 3 years ago with Ronda and Charlotte. Well, that's pretty much what they were going to do with Becky and Ronda if Becky was able to go.
Right. So just do it here. It makes sense to do it here. And actually, me advocating for that is kind of like me saying, "Yeah, this shouldn't be a event." but
yeah,
I just I don't see a way that she can do this and both women are happy.
No, no, and that's why I think, like, you know, you probably do need to do a DQ or you know, some sort of not clean finish. I don't know. It's going to be interesting.
It will be. We'll get to the Roman match last. Let's do RK Bro in against the Usos. Again, we're not big fans of Matt Riddle. RK Bro is kind of cool. Me personally, and I acknowledge how great the Usos are historically, I just don't fuck with this iteration of the Usos at all. This iteration of the Usos is bitch made, man.
Yeah, I mean, like
they're gonna win. They're gonna win, but I do not fucking care for Roman's lackeys.
No, because it feels weird. Like, you know, Jimmy came back and, you know, it felt like they were going to kind of fight over Jay, and then Jimmy just kind of fell in line instead. Like, I don't love it. You know, I don't love that the last, you know.
Hold on. He pulled it. Yeah, I know my brother, bitch. I know you kind of control him, but you know what? I'm fall in line, right? Because we family.
Yeah.
You know, well, family matters above all. I fucking hate
Yeah, this. And I mean, like, I don't love either that they've kind of fallen into this trap where they need to help Roman in every title match now too. That like,
yes.
No, I agree. We talked about it after Crown Jewel, I think, where you don't need to necessarily do it every single time, but I get it. I mean, I think the match itself, you know, if you're taking out everything else about everyone, is going to be good. I don't believe it's something we've seen. Mm-hmm.
Nope.
Yeah. So
never has.
Yeah, that'll be good. I do think RK-Bro is going to win because I think they want to keep building those two guys up because there's eventually going to be a split. That's a big program. And I think they're two names that you can circle for potential Royal Rumble winners. I don't have them as my winner right now.
You honestly just mentioned two things that I wanted to touch on. But I feel like we can get to the Usos in a half second. People are like actually in fear that Matt Riddle could win the Royal Rumble, and I'm not understanding that.
No, I think
it's based on just his positioning.
Yeah,
I think it's based on the fact
his positioning is not conducive of a Royal Rumble winner.
That I agree with.
Yeah,
that I definitely agree with. I think there's a lot of with regards to that, there's definitely fear mongering at play. I think that if they're usually really really particular about the way that they build up the Royal Rumble winners,
mm-hmm.
and what it usually is it doesn't usually come from a tag team champion. It usually comes from somebody who's running solo and then starts to get a little bit more daring and then, you know, goes up and starts challenging people or whatever and gets the focus, the singular focus, not tag team focus, singular focus. And I know when Randy won the Rumble 4 years ago in San Antonio, he was part of the Wyatt family or whatever, but there was at least some kind of story at play there.
Yeah, no, listen, neither of them is my pick to win. I just think
they're guys. Definitely not. I honestly, as far as the men's Rumble, I don't have a pick. It's anybody's game right now.
Yeah, I think mine is Brock at the moment. Confirmed to be at the crypto.com center in a couple weeks. You know.
But the thing with the men's Rumble is just like we still have a lot of ways to go. I need to see what happens at, well, honestly, like the fact that it's structured in the way that it is with day one coming up on January 1st, the Rumble build's not going to start until right after that.
No, I think it could start a little bit after Survivor Series, but yeah, I mean, you have a point.
Yeah. I mean, you know what I'm trying to say, though.
No, I just think, you know, those guys are on the list. AJ's on the list.
But is he though? I don't think so. I don't think Styles is on the list because he's just chilling with Omos right now.
Yeah.
He just came
Styles
back
is on the list because Styles has to like rack up some accolades pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I mean, I understand from that point of view, but like I don't consider him a threat at all whatsoever because he hasn't even been a threat for the WWE title. Because when was his last WWE title match was last year at TLC.
It'll be interesting if they pivot to AJ and Big E for day one, then AJ won't win. But that's a match you can go to. And
they're probably not going to do that, though, because it's probably going to end up being Seth and KO versus Big E.
That's fair.
Because they're both involving both of them there.
Yeah.
Styles is going to be with Omos for a while.
It's hard to get too much into the Rumble stuff right now, but yeah, you know, there's handful of guys that I think you can start watching and seeing. Like I said, I'm still picking Brock at the moment, but
I think Brock Roman is the Rumble title match.
I would be fine. Yeah, with I think that it's too.
The Rumble title match too.
Perfectly fine.
That's probably what's going to end up happening, if you ask me.
Yeah,
fine with me.
No, I know that it's fine with you. I'm just
the way it's seeming. The way it's seeming, WrestleMania is going to be about drive. It's going to be about power. So, we're actually going to do something very interesting here. We're actually going to pause our SummerSlam. God damn it. Pause. Yeah, there we go. We're going to pause our Survivor Series predictions for a little bit. We're going to come back and do the rest of the card. Because it's a good segue to start talking about Full Gear. Because we go from Matt Riddle, one questionable person, to another questionable person, and I'll let you guys wrap on the questionable person and the pay-per-view, because I didn't watch the pay-per-view. That questionable person being Jay Lethal. So let me say what I got to say, get off my chest about Jay Lethal, and then you guys grab by him and the pay-per-view really quickly. It's an absolute sham that Jay Lethal just stepped into AEW and nobody was like, hey, y'all not going to question this man for his Me Too stuff. It's kind of weird. And then immediately you guys are going to stick him in a championship match against somebody that said that they would rape Sasha Banks. It's wild. It's wild to me. Jay Lethal is an awesome performer. That much we obviously know. But there's questions that Jay Lethal hasn't been able to answer because nobody's given a shit about Ring of Honor throughout the pandemic. And now it's his time to be on that Summer Jam scream and nobody said anything. So I'll let you guys wrap on that and the pay-per-view. We'll do SummerSlam or, God, motherfucker. We'll do Survivor Series when we come back. But go ahead. What do you guys thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Jay Lethal stuff, not asking about it, I think, it is indefensible. You know, if you're going to bring in a person with a checkered past, it's wrestling, that's going to happen. But you need to be made to answer for it. And that's not something that's going to be volunteered, you know. That's something that you need to go out and get an answer for. If you're a wrestling journalist, you know, if you're Dave Meltzer, if you're, you know, anyone else, that you got to do that. And I mean, I get it because, you know, we had this conversation with Triple H every, you know, takeover media call, like, listen, it shouldn't be how it works, but it is how it works, where your access can be revoked a lot easier than I think in quote unquote real sports. Can we agree on that?
Probably.
Is that a reason not to ask though?
No, it's not.
No, I mean, I understand it's a fine line, but sometimes you gotta just step up and do it. You know, it's, I don't know. I don't feel good about it, you know?
I mean, I'll just say that every reporter there that didn't ask about it is a coward. I mean, I have no problem saying that. I have no problem saying that the fact is there has been a divide in terms of how both companies are treated. How you brought up the fact that, you know, Triple H was asked about Dream multiple times, but nobody can ask about Jay Lethal when he debuted.
Well, no, my point, he wasn't even really asked.
Well, yes, he was always asked.
After the first couple, it was clear that you weren't going to get an answer.
But you're pointing out the thing that is worth noting here. They asked.
Yeah.
They asked. That's fair. They did the bare minimum and asked. They didn't do the bare minimum of that on Sunday. That's indefensible to me. It's indefensible. That's cowardly. Between all this and between, you know, the way that Khan came off in that conference call or whatever, when he was, you know, giving himself the pat on the back for how he, you know, should, you know, be treated, how women's wrestling and all that other stuff. And then they go and bring in the, you know, the guy who was justifiably accused with, you know, with sexual harassment and abuse and whatnot to at least three different women, you know, Taylor Hendricks, Kelly Klein, and then, according to David Bixenspan, an anonymous woman also came forward and, you know, provided allegations towards him as well. It's just like when you have that divide between the two, why should I expect, you know, anything different? Because everything that they do or whatever over there is pretty much let off the hook almost by most wrestling media. I think that's completely fair to say. I think it's fair to suggest that, you know, there's a, that would WWE be given the same rope? Not really, especially when they were consistently panned for quite a few things over and over again, even just the little things and whatnot. And to the degree of, you know, we were talking about Becky and Charlotte, why did we know every little detail about what Charlotte is doing backstage with all the other people, but we can't talk to, you know, the accusers. We can't talk about, you know, what goes on with how these, you know, people who get accused of harassment, rape, abuse, et cetera, just get off scot-free all the time. Like, it's bullshit. It yeah. just is. And it was indefensible to me. And it's just, to me, I don't think it's going to, you know, pull the rug off people's heads that, like, you know, Tony Khan is a billionaire or whatever. Like, he's still a billionaire. And most billionaires, if not all of them, are scummy individuals who don't care. And it's pretty obvious now that, like, the veil has been pulled off. So what do we do from here? We have to do better. Everyone has to do better. Everyone has to hold everyone accountable for this stuff. And it's wrong for everyone to just be to give people certain people passes and whatnot. It just is.
Yeah, I agree. You know, to kind of tie it all up, you know, getting back to talking about Matt Riddle too, you know, the whole speaking out thing didn't really have too many repercussions, like, and that's a bummer.
It didn't. It didn't, because that's just how the rest funny of the business
goes. I was literally just saying that on Instagram when I saw Marty Scurll win a title in some promotion.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. like, who really got clipped because of that?
Yeah. And that's really the part that sucks to me. But, I mean, you know, we do have to be better. And as fans, you have to hold people to higher standard. You know, there's a reason I think every time we talk about Matt Riddle, we kind of clarify it on here, like, you know.
Yeah. And that's I think that's more than a lot of people do. And I'm not trying to give myself a pat on the back for that, obviously. But, you know, compared to other people, you know, we need to... Everyone else needs to follow suit.
That's all yeah. right people can do. If you are doing right by the people who have been wronged, then that's really the least that you can do. You know, yeah. ain't nobody asking to cancel or anything of that shit. But state the obvious and be honest, you know, exactly. about some of these people. We have to do it about our favorite musicians. Like, I have to, you know, listen to James Brown and have to, you know, be honest about the fact that James Brown was a horrible fucking person. Mm-hmm. Rick James, well, there's a lot of shit about Rick James. A lot of motherfuckers don't know. Rick James was a horrible fucking person. You know, it's okay. It's okay to like these people. It's okay to enjoy the people's works, but, you know, call a spade and be honest when that person deserves to be on that Summer Jam screen. I noticed you guys did go on about that one. So I'll let you, what about the pay-per-view? I've heard really good things about the pay-per-view.
Yeah, it was good. I mean, I would highly recommend. It's long. You know, it's a four-hour show. It just kind of is what it is at this point. I mean, SummerSlam was about 4 hours, too.
Was it? It was more like 3.5.
Yeah, I mean, I would recommend checking out. I thought MJF and Darby was good. I get if people don't want to watch that. I thought it was worth the time. Danielson and Miro was very good. The Falls Count Anywhere match was a lot of fun. You know, the Cody match was a mess. Well, can they coexist sort of match, you know, was what it was. Britt Baker and Ty Conti was fine. CM Punk and Eddie Kingston, one of my favorite matches of the year. Also 11 minutes, action start to finish. You know, the 10-person street fight was what it was. And then, you know, Hangman beating Kenny, which had to happen. And they did a good job with that. And I'm excited for the build to Hangman against Danielson. And, you know, I do want to take some time in particular to shout out CM Punk did the Three Amigos. Obviously, he had a famous match with Eddie in between Eddie's WWE runs that kind of put Punk on the map.
In Mid-South, right? Or Ring of Honor?
Whatever. It was not Ring of Honor. I believe it was Mid-South. I think
It was IWA Mid-South. It was a triple threat between Eddie, CM Punk, and Maskless Rey Mysterio.
That's right.
Yeah.
If you have the Best in the World DVD, which I think that I fucked up and I fucked up the special features, but that match is on the special features of that DVD. It's a really good match.
Yeah. And, you know, I want to shout out Chris Jericho as well. He won that match with the Frog Splash. You know, think what you want about him, but that, I think that was cool that he got to do that, you know, in Minneapolis.
That's right. I didn't think about that.
Yeah. I mean, there were any
on the same weekend, right?
Yeah, yeah, kind of sprinkled throughout the show, but those are two that really stood out to me, and it was cool that they, you know, got to do that because they're two guys that obviously had a strong connection to Eddie. But yeah, I mean, if you have a way to find this pay-per-view, I would suggest watching at least those matches. You know, Lucha Bros and FTR, their match in Dynamite last month was better. This one got kind of weird because Rey Fénix did Rey Fénix things.
What does that mean?
Yeah, got a little snug, and Dax Harwood got knocked out, so kind of screwed up the finish a little
bit. Oh, that's why Dax got hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, it was a good pay-per-view. I mean, you know, I like that they're on Saturdays.
Saturday pay-per-views are nice.
WWE.
I'm glad that wrestling is following suit with boxing, UFC, and AEW by doing more Saturday pay-per-views because they're just better.
Yeah.
They're just more convenient.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, I shouldn't care about it because even if it's on Sunday, it's over by, you know, 9 or 9:30.
But even still, like, it's just more convenient to watch it on a Saturday, wake up whatever on Sunday, and just do whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just easier that way.
Mm-hmm.
I know that always with Sundays, but Saturdays are cool too.
Yeah.
Also, as far as Brit Tay, if you've seen one Brit title defense, you've seen them all.
Folks is going in on Britt, and I ain't want to join them because, you know, I ain't seen the match or whatever, but yeah, Britt kind of, you know. Folks hyped Britt up over the summer, you know. Okay.
I like her. She's just not, you know, that ring general type that can carry a match.
She ain't the one that's, like, should be leading this division.
Yeah.
She leading this division because of her name.
Mm-hmm.
She ain't leading it because of her ring. Once, you know, obviously Ruby gonna get that shot. I think once Ember come in, she's gonna, you know, be much better and be in a better position. Like, there's a lot of girls right now that could take that spot, and then Britt Baker just somebody else in the field. I mean, she'll always have a spot. It's unfortunate, you know, but it's really just based off name brand. Her in ring work ain't that like that.
Yeah,
you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the thing with Britt in her title reign really has just been she hasn't been with anybody in the ring or in a feud that's been, like, able to push her to elevate herself. Their best match so far was with Thunder Rosa, but they've shied away from that match. I don't think they should shy away from it anymore. Frankly, I think that they should probably switch and give the title to Thunder Rosa, quite frankly, if she gets eventually knocked out of the TBS title tournament, which I would assume that she will, but I have no idea how that's gonna roll, because I know
because isn't she facing Nyla Rose?
I know Nyla's facing Sheeta tonight.
Yeah,
Nyla's facing Sheeta. Okay.
Yeah, so that match will probably tell you a lot about who's gonna win that tournament. But yeah, I mean, it's just maybe she'll be that girl in a couple years, but I don't think that she is in terms of ring general type right now. It's fine, but I just think that, you know, she is who she is.
Yeah.
And like I said, if you've seen one title defense from her, you've seen them all.
And as far as Thunder Rosa goes, I think you can pencil her in for the final because the three other people left in her bracket are Jamie Hayter, Jade Cargill, and Red Velvet. And I think it'd be a mistake to go with Jade at this point. I know they want her to be a lot better than she is, but, you know,
if you want to talk about wanting her to be better than she is, I mean, Britt Baker's right there.
Yeah. But yeah,
I could see, because I need to see what happens with Jade also, because like you said, they obviously want to propel her into
Jade a star
higher no spot.
Star.
So yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
yeah.
Right.
I'll take Rod's word for it, because all I really paid attention to were the women's match and then Hangman and Omega. So because mostly I was paying attention to watching Oregon at the end of the night. So
yeah.
Go Ducks. Let's jump back into Survivor Series. Talk about the mid-card title versus title match. I feel like one of them has to lose their belt, because I don't feel like Damian Priest versus Shinsuke Nakamura. That's a pre-show match.
I think it's going to be fun.
Yeah, because I don't think Shinsuke's putting his title on the line on Friday.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah, they haven't really done anything to build to it, but you know,
what does it matter? They're going to put out a fun match. I mean, Priest is somebody who they've gotten absolutely right since WrestleMania. He's lost one match since Mania, and that was a schmoz finish in a handicap match. So like he's been one of their best built workers the entire year. He's done a really good job, and I expect him to win this match. Knock will probably happily do the job for him. It's a big, credible win for Priest going into 2022. And I'm not saying that he's going to win the Rumble, but I could see him being in the final four.
Yeah.
Without question. I mean, they obviously have high hopes for the guy. They had him working with Bad Bunny. They've had him in an elevated spot. Again, he hasn't lost a singles match like all year. So it's all right there for him.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think Priest is going to win.
Yeah. I mean,
this will be a fun match.
I don't have any counterpoint to that, so it's fine. You know.
Now, you said Nakamura has a match on Friday.
He does not.
Yeah, I don't think he does.
Right now, he does not.
At the moment.
Okay, yeah. Put him against what? I don't care.
Let's not put it into the universe that he loses the title, because the guy that he's been feuding with has been Happy Corbin. So let's hope that Nakamura keeps the title going into the week.
Yeah, but he's in the other match, so I don't think
that.
We're going to do a title match,
Nakamura versus Corbin. So
yeah.
Okay, but have we flipped on Happy Corbin? Because like I like Happy Corbin.
I mean, like the Vegas stuff was very good, and then I mean this stuff.
They've fallen into the same trap that they always do with Corbin.
Yeah.
They do good stuff, and then they just do too much of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. I think it's been just too much of it.
Yeah.
They could scale back.
Yeah,
is what I think.
Mm-hmm.
You're telling me you don't like seeing what the fuck is this Butler's
Mad
name?
Madcap Moss.
Madcap Moss. You're so stupid. Let's talk about the Survivor Series elimination matches. While I have a Twix in my mouth, Team Raw on the men's side. Seth Rollins, Finn Balor, Kevin Owens, Bobby Lashley, Austin Theory, selfie taking ass. And on Team SmackDown, we got Drew McIntyre, Jeff Hardy. I love you. No more words. I love you. King Woods, Happy Corbin, and someone to be announced. Who is that to be announced and who wins?
You know, I think that this is giving me similar vibes to what happened with Seth 2 years ago when...
Wait, wasn't Ricochet in this?
No, he was... it was supposed to be Sammy, but Sammy lost a match where he lost his spot, basically.
That's kind of...
Yeah, like it could be Ricochet.
It could be Ricochet. It could really be anybody in the... I mean, honestly, no disrespect to the SmackDown mid-card, or main event scene, but it kind of sucks.
Yeah, I mean, you're looking at the names here. Cesaro.
Potentially, I guess.
Kofi, I guess, but he's hurt. Did the injury angle,
yeah,
with him.
Injury
angle with him. Ricochet, Sheamus, who is...
Sheamus is probably going to be with Ridge Holland and then doing a thing with Cesaro too. So it's probably not going to be one of them.
I mean,
although I could see Sheamus being there. I can potentially see
that. Yeah, I mean, again, you look down here, it's not going to be Angel or Humberto.
No, not.
It's not going to be the Viking Raiders. It's not going to be Hit Row. It's not going to be Drew Gulak.
No.
Jeff Hardy's already in it. It's not going to be the Usos. Jinder has a thing going. They're probably going to be on the pre-show against Hit Row. It's not going to be Mace.
Stop you. Let me stop you. Jinder may be a possibility because Jinder's got himself some primetime TV money now.
That's true.
That's
he got
true.
A reason to act like he matters again now.
That is a good point.
It's a very good point. And obviously it doesn't matter what channel it's on, because they put a lot of people on the Late Night with Stephen Colbert, and that's on CBS.
Yeah,
so. Right. That's true. Seth's going to be on that with some wild ass fit. I can't wait to see that. But yeah, man, shout out to Jinder Mahal for getting him a nice little nice little role on I forgot the show's name.
Big Sky.
Yeah, it's one of them fucking dumbass ABC shows that they come out for 2 years and then they get canceled. But you know, good for him, man. Good for him. Glad to see him transition.
But yeah, I'm gonna go with the Raw team just because I think they're more of a cohesive unit the moment.
I mean, you say that, but everyone hates Kevin Owens now.
No,
everyone can't trust him.
Seth doesn't.
Seth hates KO. And KO hates Seth.
Yeah, I mean,
everyone's been side eyeing KO, and I mean that's a good story to tell. But he's not going to prove anybody right because they're trying to make him an asshole.
I think Drew's
going to be the sole survivor, and SmackDown's going to win.
I'm disappointed that they took out Rey Mysterio for Austin Theory, because that is a significant downgrade. You can't just do that.
I mean, mean, I guess,
you know,
very big. I mean, they better be putting that, you know, some kind of Rey Mysterio Dominic match on the card somewhere.
Don't say a guess either, because Rey's one of the, you know, 10 best guys that the company's had in 25 years. And Austin Theory is, you know,
listen, Austin Theory's a dickhead. And going back to everything with, you know, the speaking out stuff, I have to call him a dickhead because he is. But look, with regards to Rey and Dominic, they're also an act that I don't need to see every week. I know Rey's one of the best of all time, but I endorse the decision to take Dom out of the Survivor Series match because he would be, he's somebody who could easily have gotten more seasoning down in 2.0. He'd fit right in down there.
No, yeah, at this point, he'd work down there. You know,
so I don't have a problem with shying away from Rey and Dom in this match. They're probably going to get involved. They'll probably end up costing the team out of spite to Adam Pearce or whatever. So yeah,
I didn't say I had a problem with Lashley replacing Dominic. I said I had a problem with Theory replacing Rey.
That's fair, but Rey's another guy. Again, it sort of fits in. They could have picked somebody better than Theory, sure, but I don't have a problem necessarily. If I'm going to be fair and say that I don't care about Happy Corbin, I need to also talk about another act that's on every week, and that's Rey and Dom.
Yeah. Actually, I guess I will pick SmackDown because I think that Raw is going to win on the women's side. Not to spoil it, but, you know.
That's fair.
Because that SmackDown team is having definite issues coexisting. You know, Sasha and Shotzi are already not getting along. They have Natalya on their team, so that's never good. And I think, you know, Bianca and Rhea, just it's a strong team. You know, Shayna's been on the up and up, obviously, and we don't know who's going to be the TBA spot on SmackDown.
It's going to be Naomi.
Yeah, I mean, again, Sonya's
going to have to be kicking and screaming, but it's going to be Naomi.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm still going to go with the Raw team because, you know, I think they're more cohesive, but...
Also, Bianca.
Yeah.
I mean, it's right there. She's the biggest star in the match.
Yes. Yeah. So I think that's fair. You know, I like what they're doing with Carmella and Zelina. I think Zelina's actually doing a pretty good job with the queen stuff.
Yeah, she's doing a very good job.
You know, Carmella's been doing fine for most the summer.
She's good. She's done well. She's impressed me.
I think Corey Graves could tone it down when she is in the ring or on commentary or, you know, it comes out, whatever.
Corey Graves could stand to tone it down in general.
That's true. Yeah, you're not wrong.
There's somebody for me whose stock has decreased.
I tone it down. We don't mean get back in the ring.
Yeah, no,
not that. Not just
anything but that.
He's so obnoxious.
Yes.
We're good. Yeah. We're good.
We're entirely good on that.
You guys are transitioning into the women's match, I see.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, you know, Sasha and Shotzi are having their issues. I think that's going to play a
part. Love it.
Match on SmackDown on Friday, I don't know how full bore they're going to go. But with whatever time that they get, those two are going to go freaking mad, and it's going to be great.
Yeah.
Can't wait for that. I mean, Hartford is getting a treat with that match. I'll say that much. Because that's obviously where SmackDown is on Friday, and they're getting a nice little treat with that.
Sure. Yeah. Everyone's thinking about Hartford, Chris. Everyone's thinking about Hartford at a time like this. Oh, I have to put my home run in pizza in the oven. SmackDown women's team sucks. I'm going to go with Raw.
Yeah.
Also, with regards to SmackDown and women, I'm pleased with the development that happened with Charlotte and Tony. It gives me some very high optimism for Tony and her future.
Yeah.
So that's good.
I mean, Tony did a good job saving an all-time bad segment.
Yeah, was not great by Charlotte. I'm not gonna.
It's not like she cuts good. She doesn't cut good promos. She cuts bad promos. But like, you know, she that one was bad, and no one cared. So that's not ideal. But yeah, no, that was bad. Terrible stuff, man. But yeah, so we can get into Big E against Roman, which I don't know. You know.
This is going to be fun.
So here's my thing, and I know you're going to disagree. It's going to be a whole thing, but...
It's not going to be fucking fun. It's going to be fucking terrible.
It's one of the biggest matches you have left, especially against two active guys.
Yes.
And it feels like you're kind of wasting it here. I'm going to be honest.
Why are you wasting it?
Because.
What sense does that make?
Because
how are you wasting it?
I think you make one of your champions look bad by default in this match.
Who cares? How do you make Roman look bad?
There's only one champion that's going to look bad in this match, and it's going to happen because the other champion is going to have his fucking lackeys help him win the match.
But yeah. Okay, but honestly, you're saying either one of your champions. How can Roman look bad?
He won't. He's going to win.
Right, but I'm just saying that, like, there's no argument for Roman looking bad. He can lose a match. It's okay.
He's not going to lose.
Are you sure about that?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
100%. Okay.
I don't know.
Roman Reigns isn't going to look bad. Big E's going to look horrible.
I don't know.
Roman's going to win, and the Usos are going to help. They're going to keep beating up Big E.
I don't know.
And Kofi and Woods aren't going to be able to help because they're both hurt.
Yeah.
And
then, guess who's going to help?
Yeah, I understand.
Guess who's
going to
help?
I understand that.
You know whose music is
this conversation Sunday. Goes to my other point that I was planning to make when it comes to specifically Roman Reigns. And I reached a boiling point at Salute the Troops. Wow, I really watched Salute the Troops. Only reason I did this is because I worked for a Fox station. But to sit there and watch Salute the Troops. And what did I see? Again, on fucking repeat, they do this again. I am tired of having to see the Usos come down to save this nigga. He doesn't need it. He does not need it. Look at that man. Look at him. Does he look like a man that needs the help of his fucking cousins? No.
Yeah.
He eats his cousins for breakfast.
No, and I think we talked about this too. Like, you know, obviously the Triple H reign that we watched the past couple of years wasn't good, but he wasn't getting help every single time he defended the title. He would just win sometimes, like, you know, and that's fine. You can do that with a heel. Like, sometimes they just win
in the most bullshit of ways.
Yeah. Which, I mean, that's not ideal, but still, he didn't need to interfere every time.
Well, it's a good thing that The Rock is going to come back and save the day and help Big E win.
And I guess my thing about
that's what's going to happen.
He's not going to help Big E win. He's going to help Big E not get beat down. But
no, he can help him win. No. Why can't he help him win?
Because
Big E's not going to win. No, he's going to help Big E not be on the mat for too fucking long after Roman's music is hitting. Because then we're going to hear his music.
I do not share the same amount of pessimism that you guys have. I just don't. I can very easily see, because they're down Kofi. Woods will come down to probably try and help because there's going to be a lot of chicanery. And then The Rock will come down to even the odds. He'll hit Roman with a rock bottom. Big E will get the pin, and we'll move on from there.
Okay, but the other issue is, with your idea, is if six people interfere, then you're doing too much. So,
but when do they ever do that? They don't do an Attitude Era style finish to anything.
No.
People will go nuts. If that indeed does happen, people will go nuts. No one's going to be like, oh, they're doing too much. Like, no.
I mean, people are going
to... But that's you being too much of a critic and trying to be Booker more than, you know, just trying to say, okay, that would be a fun-ass moment to have. It just is.
I think it'd be fine. That just is. No, it'll be fine no matter when it happens. I just don't think Roman's going to lose. I think you could do it.
I think Roman's going to lose because this is a perfect spot to lose because it's a stakeless match.
Yeah, that's fine.
It's champion versus champion. He loses nothing by losing.
Yeah,
there's no Chris, value that's decreased from him or his reign if he eats
Chris,
a loss
man,
to Biggie.
Chris, you're thinking with logic. And that's why I love you, because, you know, a lot of people don't do that. A lot of people don't think with common sense and where we should go with our common sense. Because one thing that I've learned throughout my years on this earth, my 30 years on this earth, is that for a lot of people, common sense is not common.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way in hell that Vince is going to conjure up that up out of his ass. I think Roman's winning on Sunday. I think after the fact, we'll hit The Rock's music because we can't have Roman lose for some fucking reason. We can't have Roman lose without some interference from his cousins. It's been the formula. It'll continue to be the formula. I don't know when the fuck they're going to break that formula because I am fucking tired of it. And until I see otherwise, that formula is going to continue because WWE always goes back to the well. If it is water in that well, they will continue to lick that shit until it's dry.
Yeah.
Actually, you know, I was thinking, you know, actually, they could do the Armageddon 2002 finish. Rock comes off a suspension, still suspended, hits Roman with an F5, Biggie gets the win.
Yeah, it seems like he's not going to be back until the
Oh, yeah, because you were really expecting him to show up at SummerSlam, right?
No, but they announced he'll be back at the SmackDown at the Crypto.com center.
He would have a ticket.
Well, he'll be there.
What if they said he was going to be back then? He can't show up beforehand and then have him show up then? Do you know how many people know about that? Have they announced that on the .com? No.
I don't know. I don't
They check. Have not. Why would they announce it on the .com also? Because that's SmackDown is in December. You only know that because you saw the tweet.
Yeah.
The general public who doesn't, you know, mind Twitter as much as we do does not know that. Mm. Twitter is not real life. We always say this.
Well, you know, we'll see.
I think three possibilities could happen. Roman could win. They could do the Armageddon 2002 finish. Or The Rock can help save Big E, even the odds, and set up Roman Rock for me.
Yeah. Again, I'm going to go with Roman winning and then The Rock coming out after and helping. Again, it's the finish that they've done a couple times.
That's why also I don't think they're going to do that.
I mean,
why would they do it three times in the span of 6 months?
I mean, it was different every time. Like Cena.
Or 4 months, I should say.
Well, Cena didn't really save anyone. He just
neither
came out.
Neither did Brock.
Brock came out and beat up Cena. And then...
Yeah, after the show ended.
Yeah, I know, but...
I'm just telling you that, like, they can open up the portal different ways.
Well, we'll have to see. But yeah, Survivor Series should be fun. Should be exciting.
As it were.
Yeah, I'll enjoy watching it on tape delay because I'll be at the good old United Center watching my Chicago Bulls beat the shit out of the New York Knicks. Bing bong.
Hell yeah.
I wonder if I'm going to be too obliterated to enjoy that because I'm also going to be going to Bears-Ravens earlier in the day. So, hey, I get to see two black quarterbacks. And both of them are good. You know how many times I've said that about the Chicago Bears?
That's a good point.
Exactly. Good to see my son play for the first time. Should be really, really fucking fun.
That'll be fun because the Bulls are excellent.
They really are. Oh, my God. I hit up all my Toronto friends because I used to talk mad shit about DeMar DeRozan. I actually have a text thread saved from my boy Sticks when I told him right before the summer of 2018 that like if they could trade DeRozan for a guy like Kawhi, they can be elite and they could be a great team. And then they went and did that, and then they went and won a championship. So, but DeMar is so nice, and I really hate that. I had to apologize for all the shit talking I did about DeMar DeRozan. That man's nice. When you just allow him to play his game, he ain't got to worry about being a man. He just go out there and get buckets. He's focused, man. I love watching everybody on this team. Caruso, oh, I love it, love it, love it. Let's go back to 2005. Obviously, we have a very somber moment in wrestling with the death of Eddie Guerrero. We'll talk about that after the fact. But we're coming off the heels of Taboo Tuesday. We got Survivor Series, fifth time I've done that to show. Survivor Series 2005 coming up in a couple of weeks. They've been building towards it for a while. Now we're starting to get an idea of some of the teams we're going to see now that Taboo Tuesday is in the rearview mirror.
Yeah. Yeah, that Taboo Tuesday kind of made things weird because I didn't realize till today that Survivor Series was after Thanksgiving.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Which is crazy, but we got a couple more weeks still, so that's nice. But yeah, we can get into the music, movies, and such.
Yeah, the top five songs in America did not change, just mostly changed in order. Number five is Photograph by Nickelback. That went from four to five. Soul Survivor by Young Jeezy and Akon went up from five to four. And the top three remain the same. Gold Digger, Run It, and My Humps in that order, 1, 2, 3.
I would like to stop for a hot second because, like, it's crazy how Akon is such an important figure in music. When you think about, obviously, this song and Thug Motivation 101 is very underrated in terms of hip-hop albums from Jeezy. That album was played all throughout the hood for about 2 years. But Akon's legacy is very significant because not only did Akon find T-Pain, and T-Pain was growing around this time, Akon founded Lady Gaga. So it's very likely we don't have Lady Gaga without T-Pain. We don't have Auto-Tune. Oh, sorry, Lady Gaga without Akon. We don't have Auto-Tune and T-Pain without Akon. I always want to remind people of the greatness of Akon.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And then the movies here, looks like number five is Prime. I don't know what that is. Number four is The Legend of Zorro. Saw 2 is down from 1 to 3. Jarhead debuted at number 2, and debuting at number 1, Zach Braff's Chicken Little.
You know, I completely forgot about Jarhead.
I never seen Jarhead with Zach, Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, I think Jake Gyllenhaal, and I want to say, for whatever reason, Jamie Foxx.
Jake Gyllenhaal. Yeah, Jamie Foxx is in it. I remember the trailer for having Jesus.
Yeah, Jamie Foxx. Because Jamie Foxx, the dude says, ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was cool until I realized that.
Yeah, this series is not cool. We are definitely still in the mid-2000s because there are a lot of war propaganda movies going on right now.
Yep. But number one, Chicken Little. I actually forgot Chicken Little came out around this time, but Chicken Little might be one of the best cartoons of the 2000s.
It was pretty good.
I don't think I ever saw it, but it was like one of the first movies that Disney did that did like the new animation style where it wasn't, you know, hand-drawn as much. I don't think I've ever seen it, but the cast looks pretty good. Obviously I know the story, but yeah
obviously it's a good story. That and Meet the Robinsons I feel like are great cartoons that didn't get a lot of the love that it should have, maybe because of the animation style that Disney was transitioning to. But both, I think Meet the Robinsons, if it's not this upcoming spring, it's spring 2007. But both were excellent.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Monday Night Football, the Indianapolis Colts improved to 8-0 on the season. 40-21 victory over the New England Patriots. You know, looks like Peyton Manning had 3 touchdowns, 2 of which went to Marvin Harrison. Edgerton James had a rushing touchdown.
I don't know if we mentioned this, but this is the last year for Monday Night Football on ABC.
Yes.
And they kind of did stack the deck. Like, think about a Peyton Manning, Tom Brady matchup being on Monday Night Football. Nowadays, it wouldn't happen. But this is still in that little sliver of time where Monday Night Football still mattered and it was still a big thing. So to get Tom and Peyton together there, I think that would have been the rematch of what was they faced in the divisional round this past year, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. When Tom just kicked the shit out of Peyton. So this is actually a really good run for the Colts. People forget how good the Colts were in 2005 because it all turned to shit in that one playoff game.
Yeah, I didn't realize they went 14-2.
Yeah, they were undefeated. Yeah. I forgot how long they were undefeated, who they lost to.
Let's see, because they win against the Texans next week, and then they win against the Bengals to go to 10-0. Then they beat the Steelers, they beat the Titans, and they beat Jacksonville, so they were 13-0, and then they lost to the Chargers.
Yeah, because right. If I recall correctly, that was the first emergence of one Michael Turner. In that Chargers.
Sounds about right.
An 83-yard rushing touchdown fourth quarter.
Yep, there it is.
Yeah. So the Colts were really good that year, and they just it all. But they had the top seed, and they just had a bad luck game in that playoffs against the Steelers, and hell, they could have went back to back.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Fucking idiot kicker. They just got rid of the idiot kicker and got the greatest kicker of all time.
Yes.
No big
deal. And then just real quick, we don't have the football stuff for next week because, you know, we're not doing a full week, but the Chicago Bears beat the San Francisco Giants 17-9. San Francisco
49ers.
Oh yeah, 49ers.
San Francisco Giants. That was a Monday night game?
No, it's just a regular game, but the Bears won 17-9.
Oh, that's right. What am I talking about? Of course it's not Nasher because game. That's a Nathan Badger game.
Just incredibly windy, even for Soldier Field. Nathan Badger had a 108-yard kick return or a field goal return touchdown, which was the longest play in NFL history until someone got 109 yards.
Dude, I was the biggest Nathan Badger fan because he always had big plays and big games.
Yeah,
he had a pick the year before against the Niners in that Sunday night game that sealed it. And I was just always a fan of his ability to come up big in big situations. That was a great kick. I love the call from Jeff Joniak on that kick. To me, it's a more thrilling kick than the Hester one. Hester's like You can pick and choose from Hester's which one.
Yeah. Well, the Hester one, the Giants just give up because they think he's just going to.
Right. Because he just faked them. Like, yeah, I'm going to walk. The second he started walking, I'm like, this motherfucker's taking off. Yeah, he did. Yeah, that was so cold from Nathan Badger. 2005 Bears. You're so scrappy. Kyle Orton. Yeah, look at him. It's all going to go well in January.
Kyle Orton finished with a game-high 67 passing yards because Cody Pickett went 1 for 13 for 28 yards. The Niners.
I'm sorry. He had what?
He was 1 for 13.
Again, for how many yards?
28. So he had 128 yards.
28 versus 67?
Yeah.
And he made one completion.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck were we?
Yeah.
Why did I sit here and watch this shit as a kid? Listen, Red Zone is the greatest invention.
Oh, yeah.
Making Sunday Ticket affordable is the greatest invention because my dumb 14-year-old ass actually sat and watched that and thought it was okay. Not that was good football. I could have been exposed to the greatness. Here I am watching Cody Pickett from where?
Cody Pickett went to
Washington,
yeah.
Cody Pickett from Washington. Throw one completion for 27 yards. God damn it. Oh, it's ugly.
And then, Monday Night Football next week, the Cowboys beat the Eagles 21-20. So another big
game. Who would have been the running back on that Niners team?
One was Frank Gore. The other one was, hold on, I just had it.
Is that Kevin Barlow?
Kevin Barlow, yes.
There we go.
Boom. Don't remember. Okay.
Yes, but that is the football stuff for next week. We don't have the music and movies. I know Harry Potter comes out, makes a shitload of money.
This would have been Goblet of Fire, right?
Yes.
Great movie.
And also, I'll talk about college football when we get to the break here.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into Raw from Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Fort Wayne,
they
not
run Fort Wayne anymore, but they run Evansville.
They do run Evansville, Ford Center.
Yes.
Eric Bischoff's here to open the show, and the whole roster's in the ring. Challenge Teddy Long to a 10-man Survivor Series match because he knows Raw's going to dominate. There have already been two big matches announced for Survivor Series. Triple H and Ric Flair are going to have a last man standing match to blow off their feud. And Kurt Angle's going to face John Cena for the title again.
Who will be on Team Raw?
Yeah. Two of the spots go to Kane and Big Show, who are the tag champions. The third spot goes to Shawn Michaels, who will be the captain. The other two spots, Carlito will fight Shelton for one of them. And we don't know about the last one at the moment, but Trevor Murdoch doesn't want to be on the Survivor Series team, but he wants to use his rematch clause to have a hardcore match against Big Show and Kane for the tag titles. So we're going to do that later. Shane Helms wants a match. I think his name is Gregory Helms, but I just put Shane because that's his actual name. Wants a match with Rosie. Bischoff says that tonight in the main event, Kurt Angle and Chris Masters will team up to face John Cena and Shawn Michaels, and calls Edge and Lita into the ring and says since Edge doesn't care about Raw, he can go to SmackDown on Friday and face Batista in a street fight.
Yes. So Edge getting some, appearing to get some repercussions here.
Yes.
We move to Carlito versus Shelton Benjamin. The winner gets added to the Survivor Series team. This is a fun opener. Yeah. Carlito eventually gets the win using the ropes as leverage. So Shelton is still mired in defeat here.
Yeah, we're getting closer and closer to Shelton not really being a factor anymore.
Correct.
Or attempting to be a factor.
Attempting to be a factor and then reintroducing himself as a factor later on in the year.
Yeah.
2006. And then of course, Trish told Mickey James backstage to perhaps tone it down a little bit. She's a little extra.
And then, those two have a tag match against Victoria and Candice. Candice hits Mickey with her magic wand and, Candice gets the win, but Mickey kind of dove in front of it. So Trish didn't get hit.
Yes.
So
we move to Gregory Helms, who has pretty great theme music.
Yes.
He comes out, he faces Rosie. And Helms won with a Shining Wizard. So the Hurricane is in the past. And now Helms is on his own.
Yeah, it'll take a little bit for him to really get his going. Stride, but he will.
He'll get there.
The last great Cruiserweight champion.
Yes.
Big Show and Kane face Cade and Murdoch in the hardcore match for the tag titles. A lot of chaos here. Liked it. Good stuff. Kane and Big Show chase Kane up the ramp and chokeslam him through the announce table, which you don't see a lot on Raw because the announce table is all the way by the stage.
Correct. Kurt Angle came out. The fans did the You Suck chant, but Kurt can't stand when they do that now. They need to be respectful. He went to the back and they did it louder. So the Middle America is supposed to be have family values and there are children chanting You Suck at him. They are abusing the First Amendment. Kurt, okay, never mind. Kurt ruined his life for these people, and this is the thanks that he gets. He's leaving, and the main event can go straight to hell.
Yeah.
After the break, Bischoff told Kurt that if he stays, he can pick the referee for the main event. Interesting.
Yeah.
We move to Ric Flair versus Rob Conway for the IC title. Triple H was in a recliner. He looked very comfortable on that recliner.
He did.
Flair won with the figure four. Triple H came down with a chain. And they brawled around the crowd and into the building and out of the building. So we're getting more builds for their last man standing match at Survivor Series.
I mean, I'm looking forward to it.
So am I.
I don't think I've ever seen it. So
it's very good.
Yeah.
It's very good. So we get a tag team match between Chris Masters and Kurt Angle against John Cena and Shawn Michaels. They censored the "you suck" chants. Very funny.
Yep.
And then Kurt Angle's handpicked referee is Devart.
Yeah.
Who used Hassan's theme, which was...
Yeah, I probably shouldn't do that. Off-putting. It's not ideal.
Late in the match, I mean, Devart is actually...
That's true. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Good point.
Late in the match, Angle introduced a steel chair to Masters in front of Daivari. Daivari turned around and Masters went to use the chair, but Michaels kicked him and took him. And Daivari disqualified Michaels for using the chair, even though he didn't technically use it. Cena protested, and Daivari hit him with the chair. So Cena is very rarely standing tall here.
Yeah, like never against Angle. Like, you know, the SummerSlam stuff, he didn't really. It's weird. I mean, I guess
we're getting CM Punk and MJF. That's ugly.
Yeah, it's not ideal. Mm-hmm. We can move to SmackDown.
So just a quick look at some things that have happened in the world of college football the last couple of weeks. This past weekend, number 5 Miami defeated number 3 Virginia Tech in Blacksburg 27-7. So a big loss for the Hokies, but subsequently a big win for the Hurricanes as they're looking to make a late season push here. In addition to that, Oregon beat Cal 27-20. The Ducks were ranked 15th at the time. The Golden Bears ranked 23rd at the time. Let's see what else happened here. USC beat Stanford 51-21. Texas beat Baylor 62-0 in Waco. Those two teams obviously are destined for a hell of a lot more. And then this coming weekend, the weekend after, something that I didn't realize happened. LSU and Alabama faced off. LSU won 16-13 thanks to a Dwayne Bowe touchdown in overtime. But this was actually a top 5 matchup. And once again, I have no recollection of Bama being in the top 5 in 2005.
No, because that's still Mike Shula, right?
Yeah, that's still the Mike Shula era time. Yeah, so yeah, crazy. I did not realize that they were up there. That Bama team had, I'm looking at names here, LaRon McClain, Kenneth Darby.
LaRon McClain. Oh, my God. That's a deep cut.
Kenneth Darby, Glenn Coffey. On defense, they had, let's see if I need, I see Charlie Peppera, D'Amico Ryans. Let's see, anyone else? Not really. So, yeah, they were up there in the rankings. So.
Kids, back in the day, Alabama was just another football team.
Yes.
Crazy.
Mm-hmm. Very much so.
What is Saban doing right now? How's he doing with the Dolphins right now? This has been his first year in Miami, right?
Yeah. Let's see. I can pull that up real quick.
I want to say, did he didn't have Ricky back at this point, right? Or was Ricky on like some kind of like
he
half
was,
and
I'm
half?
I'm pretty sure he was reinstated.
Okay.
Miami is 3-7. They are going to lose 22-0 to the Browns next week.
Yuck.
No, it's not ideal. Looks like their starting quarterbacks are Gus Frat and Sage Rosenfels. They have Marty Booker after he left the Bears.
Jesus.
Ricky Williams and Ronnie Brown doing their thing. They have Wes Welker.
They do have Wes Welker.
Didn't know what to do with Wes Welker, but they had Wes Welker.
Yep, that is true.
My favorite thing about this era of Nick Saban Dolphins is that like he had to tape the names to the helmets to remember who they were. Because he didn't know who they were.
Also in the world of CFB, 3-5 Oklahoma State upset 13th ranked Texas Tech 24-17 thanks to a rushing touchdown at the end of the game with 23 seconds left. So down go the Red Raiders, who were quarterbacked at the time by Cody Hodges.
I have no idea who that is. I honestly have no idea who's on either of those two teams.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm looking at a lot of these names, and there's honestly not. Oh, I see Brandon Pettigrew. I know who Brandon Pettigrew is.
Yep.
And as far as defensive players, I don't see anybody on Texas Tech. Not surprising. As far as Oklahoma State goes, the same really can be said. Let's see. USC beat Cal 35-10. Texas beat Kansas 66-14, something that they used to be able to do. And yeah, for the most part, it looks like that was really all the major happenings of the time period there.
It's a good one. That was a good one.
College basketball started around this time, right?
Yeah.
But nothing big in that first week.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, college basketball really didn't matter. Like, I'm gonna say it didn't really matter. Obviously, it did, but like
they early had the Thanksgiving season tournaments, and that's it.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, there's Midnight Madness, and it's crazy that Midnight Madness isn't a thing like it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Because yeah. I remember Midnight Madness being like, you know, you stayed up to watch Midnight Madness, even though it was just a fucking scrimmage. But like in between Midnight Madness and then like the NIT and the Maui and those Thanksgiving tournaments, there used to be nothing. You didn't have big early season games like you do now. And here goes me kind of complaining about it a little bit the other day. But like compared to how they used to, yeah, you see a lot more Gavit games like we were talking about beforehand, Big Ten ACC Challenge, which has stood the time. Obviously, it was there back in the day, but you're getting a Duke Gonzaga, you're getting a North Carolina UCLA in Vegas. Like, that's pretty rad, and it's good to see in college basketball.
Well, yeah, and even
I love how the women do that all year round, though.
Yeah.
No, but even, you know, Nova and UCLA playing a true home and home in the first week of the season is just incredible stuff, too. Like, you don't see that often either. It's come a long way.
I'm sorry. They're playing a home and home in the same year?
No, not in the same year, but, you know.
Okay. So next year,
it'll probably end up being
come to Philadelphia.
Yeah, it'll probably end up being at Wells Fargo, but still.
I mean, that might as well be another arena. So
Villanova's like 15, 20 minutes away. So yeah,
I think Baylor comes out there next year too. It's gonna be good.
That's pretty rad, actually. Yeah.
But yeah, we get into SmackDown here from Conseco Fieldhouse in Indianapolis, Indiana.
Rare that SmackDown gets the bigger city.
Also, very rare SmackDown gets big city. Also, may I recommend that? Like, Chris? I feel like you'd have, but have y'all done the tournament at MSG?
Yes. 2017.
Okay. Yeah, 2017.
I feel like you had. I was going to say,
Do it.
It's great. Great nice. Building, man.
It's really awesome.
The building lives up to the hype.
It really does. Like, for college, and that's why I was very happy to go, because at least, like, even if it's college, you're still going to get that, you know, it's the Golden Axe atmosphere.
Yeah.
It's rad. I understand why the Big Ten wouldn't try to do the Garden for a year now. I wouldn't mind if they did it again. But yeah, it's rad.
Conseco Fieldhouse, site of my first in-person WWE pay-per-view, Survivor Series 2012. Did they change the name of that building a couple months ago? Some dumbass name
it's
now.
It's not Bankers Life. No,
it's not Bankers Life anymore. It's some dumbass name now.
Not crypto.com.
That's dumb too. Miami did the crypto thing too earlier in the year, and I don't think anyone knew about it.
XTF or something like
that. Yeah, it sucks, man.
Yeah, it all is fucking terrible. Please, for the love of God, do not ever change the United Center. Ever, ever, ever.
No, I thought they were gonna, because United was like going bankrupt like 15 years ago, but now they're okay.
Yeah, like, no, we're good now, United. Please don't fuck up. Please don't have a scandal, and then, you know, we're gonna wind up being Family Dollar Center.
Yeah. So Teddy Long opens the show, got the whole roster in the locker room. Eric Bischoff says that SmackDown's second rate. It's a B show. SmackDown's going to prove them wrong. And Teddy says tonight they're going to build their Survivor Series team. Batista makes the team, and four other guys will earn their spots, starting with Randy Orton against Rey Mysterio. Randy doesn't think that he should have to qualify because he's been the sole survivor. I don't think it was the past 2 years.
Yeah, it was the past 2 years. It was.
Yeah.
You know, he's got a point.
He does.
He does have a point.
So we get right into action with Randy Orton against Rey Mysterio. We don't know it at this moment in time, but that's going to be hot feud for the next couple of months, for better or worse.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Randy counters 619, hits Ray with a clothesline after Bob Orton distracts the ref. Then Ray gets up and goes for 619 again, hits it. And then he's going for the West Coast Pop. Bob Orton pulls him down in front of the ref and gets disqualified this time. So Ray makes a Survivor Series team. Randy does not.
Indeed.
And then Randy and Bob beat up Ray. Matt Hardy comes in for the save.
Indeed.
And Randy says that Matt Hardy messed with the wrong guy and he'll deal with him accordingly.
Hmm. Anyways, Eminem is here. Melina can't do her entrance because Eddie frog splashed her last week. Melina said that she should be at home, but she's here because she couldn't do that to the fans. They've proven that they're the most amazing tag team in WWE history. Someone from America's Next Top Model is there, and she invited her to the ring. Her name is Michelle Dighton. She would later have a kid, apparently, with Johnny Fairplay, and then appeared on Tough Enough 2011, where she lasted 3 weeks. Melina ended up beating her up, but the Mexicos came out for the save. This was definitely a segment that happened.
Well, you know, America's Next Top Model was on UPN, so it was Synergy.
It was huge.
Yes.
Yeah.
Bobby Lashley.
Huge. Yeah, it was. It was. Yeah. For, yeah.
Yeah. Bobby Lashley faced Orlando Jordan in a Survivor Series qualifying match. You know how this is going to go. We won with the Dominator. This is proof of why I don't care for qualifying matches, by the way.
Well, yeah. I mean,
that's why I don't care about that. Rumble qualifying matches. You can't name a good qualifying match that ever happened because they were just matches that happened.
Well, Brock and Big Show had the one on Sunday Night Heat or whatever to open the pay-per-view, whatever it was.
The Rumble 103? I mean, yeah. Okay, that's one.
I mean, it's not their best match.
But also, you knew Brock was winning that anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just think that, like, they are what they are. They're a means to an end. Like, yeah, you know the outcome of it more times than not. But it's a way to get people on TV. You know, it's a way to establish, like, hey, this guy earned their right in. Like, I understand why they have
it. I think my only issue with how they did it this year was, you know, just randomly announcing it on Twitter, which, you know, that's whatever. People are going to get mad when they do it for the Rumble, too. It's fine. But then to, you know, change 60% of one of the teams, that just, you know, you probably could have done that, played that out on TV. You have, you know, 6 hours of television.
Perhaps, but here's the problem. Here's the problem with qualifying matches now. There's not enough women to do the qualifying matches. So
that too.
That's fair.
What do you, I mean, because there's already so much of an inequity with men's and women's matches that it doesn't look fair.
That's fair.
So if they're going to announce the teams for the women every year, do the same for the men.
Yeah.
Play it straight. Don't make a bigger inequity. Don't increase the value difference between them.
And I also think, like, if you're going to do a Rumble qualifying match, make it make sense. If it's a big star, then that person should be losing because you're telling a story that he has to fight his way to get into the Rumble.
Yeah.
You know, leave it. If not, leave it for the lower level stars. Leave it for the guys who are on the fringe, who want to fight their way in. You know, even if you don't have big plans for them, you want to make it seem like they're a contender. That's fine. You know, I do see, to Chris's point, a lot of elimination matches that just don't matter. But yeah. I don't think that, you know, they're totally pointless. Like, there is a point to it. You just have to make it make sense. And, you know, again, common sense ain't common.
Yeah. So let me move on. Edge and Lita here. They would like Teddy Long to cancel a street fight. Teddy says that if they want that canceled, that's fine. They just have to go ask Batista to cancel it. And then we move on to another qualifying match, Eddie Guerrero against Mr. Kennedy. We get a ref bump late in the match. Eddie gets a chair and hits the mat and throws the chair to Kennedy. The ref gets up and disqualifies Kennedy, so Eddie qualifies for Survivor Series team. And then Kennedy hits Eddie with the chair after the match.
Slight pause. We'll do a more on Eddie at the end, but I remember this match so vividly. And I never thought that I would be for the reasons why. But I was watching that match in my dad's room, you know, where he was living at the time, and his little box TV, probably got for like $30 or something like that. And I remember watching that, and, you know, it was very classic Eddie lying, cheating, and stealing his way into a victory, into a spot on the the Survivor Series six times, Survivor Series lineup. And, you know, I just vividly remember sitting there just being like, that's classic Eddie. And then the beatdown afterwards, and, you know, being like, okay, I like where they're going with that. You know, a Kennedy having to prove two loud mouths, two, I think, masters on the mic, because Kennedy's really good on the mic. That's one of the reasons why Kennedy was so hot for as long as he did, and why it's such a pain that he didn't take off, because he was so good on the mic. And him and Eddie would have had such a good back and forth. And I remember sitting there thinking about that, and I'll never forget that. I'll never forget sitting there watching Eddie's last televised match and thinking about all that the future could hold for Eddie and for that particular feud. So I wanted to stop because, you know,
yeah, you know,
oddly enough, that's one of Eddie's matches that I remember the most.
Mm-hmm. So Edge goes and talks to Batista. Batista says he doesn't back down from a fight. As Lita's in the other locker room alone, Boogeyman comes in and scares her. That was good. Seeing it's scary, Undertaker will be back at Survivor Series.
Yes.
You know, because we have a Hell in a Cell match to build to, which...
We do. It's a good match.
It is. There's going to be some other stuff that comes up. Yes, but
it's a good match.
You know.
Good end to a great feud.
The Dicks tell Steve Romero that they'll win against Legion of Doom 2005 next week because no one beats the Dicks. You know what? We're just going to...
There were... A lot of suggestive puns in this promo that I'm sure made Vince laugh a lot. So that's all I have to say.
Oh, by the way, Edge and Lita showed up with security guards, and two of them were Armando Estrada and Cliff Compton,
yes.
AKA Domino, who we'll see next year, I believe, with Deuce.
Either next year or two years from now, one of the two.
I like Deuce and Domino.
Yeah, well, I actually really did like Deuce and Domino.
So did I. Body.
I love Cherry.
Yeah.
Epic theme song as well.
Yes, great theme song.
Mm-hmm. They played the bit well. And like I always say, this biggest priority that you can have is committing to the bit.
Yes. JBL and Chris Benoit are in action for the final Survivor Series. Or is there one more? Nope. Batista, Ray, Lashley, Eddie. Yep, so this is the last one.
Yeah,
last one. JBL and Benoit. Booker and Charmel come out, distract Benoit and do commentary for a while. And late in the match, Benoit puts JBL on the sharpshooter. Booker gets on the apron, and Benoit goes to reach for him. And
got free.
And Booker gets free, and Benoit turns right into a clothesline from hell. So JBL is the last member of the Survivor Series team.
Yep.
Then it's time for the Batista against Edge street fight. Well.
Or so we think.
Yes. Before the bell rings, Teddy Long's trying to keep Eric Bischoff from entering the building. As they're talking, Chris Masters comes up behind Teddy Long and puts him in the master lock. Takes him out.
And that baits the rest of Team SmackDown out there.
Yeah, because
they go after them.
Bischoff and Masters leave in a limo, and then Team SmackDown leaves in JBL's limo to try and follow them. And Batista's still in the ring, and Kane comes out to help Edge and Lita, which we, you know, you can...
Listen. That's a bit much for me. I get it, but it's a bit much for me, especially because Edge isn't...
Throwing out storyline continuity.
Yeah,
like, come on, man. At least have him introduce Big Show.
Yeah.
I get it, but again, Edge isn't even on the team. They do the cutting edge with Dimitri Young.
Oh yeah, they do.
I'm sorry, they do what with Dimitri Young?
They do the debut of the Cutting Edge, his talk show, and Dimitri Young is the guest.
Dimitri Young, former first baseman designated hitter of the Detroit Tigers, Young?
Yeah.
Delman Young's brother?
Mm-hmm.
When the fuck was this?
That's Survivor Series. Yeah. They did a segment. I remember. Word?
That's right. It's a Joe Louis Arena.
Yeah, it's a Joe. Yep.
That's right. Oh, that's wild. Yeah. It's coming back to me. I do think Dimitri Young was a big wrestling fan.
Yep.
Yeah, he was at a couple shows, I remember.
Yeah.
So it's starting to come back to me. That's still crazy though. Who's our king of the rings?
Well, hold on.
We have more.
I have to finish the final part here.
Yep.
Oh.
Big Show comes out.
Yeah, Big Show comes out. Then the numbers game catches up to Batista. The lower card guys of the locker room try and come help. Does not work. Batista and Big Show double chokeslam Batista, and he this is when he tears the lat. for the first time, and then he works through it and he tears it even worse in like January. So
yep,
not ideal. SmackDown's gonna change quite a bit in the next few weeks.
Very, very big moments for this weekend. Like I didn't realize that the lat tear happened here initially. And you think, hey, Survivor Series doesn't matter. You're not doing anything huge with Batista. If he doesn't work Armageddon, it's not the end of the world. Why not just let him sit for a while? Maybe he didn't want... I remember him saying something like, you know, to the effect that you lose your spot, you're gone. In either Ruthless Aggression or something that he did beforehand. So maybe that was it. Maybe he just, you know, he didn't want to go off the tour. He didn't want to lose a spot, which sucks because, you know, nowadays, to our point last episode, you know, I don't think a lot of guys have to worry like that, especially if you're a made guy like I think Batista was at the time. So, yeah, it sucks. It really does. Because Batista left and he's at his hottest. Now it's such a huge blow. SmackDown, WWE in total. Who's our King of the Rings?
Could be Kane and the Big Show. Let's they
retained the titles in a hardcore match and stood tall on SmackDown.
Yeah,
literally. All right. November 13th, 2005, Eddie Guerrero was found unconscious in his hotel room in Minneapolis, Minnesota. He's found by his nephew Chavo, who last year on Dark Side of the Ring said he found him with a toothbrush in his hand, making us believe that he woke up that morning, started getting ready for his day. Something happened, whatever happened. He was still there when Chavo got there, but as soon as the ambulance arrived, Eddie was no longer there. He was 38 years old. The autopsy revealed that he passed away from a result of acute heart failure due to underlying I'm not gonna fucking try that. This was a loss. I'll let you guys speak in a hot second. This was a loss I didn't find out about until 24 hours later. You know, this was a point in time where, you know, if you were 14 years old and on the internet, like you were fucking around, you were playing, you were probably looking at porn. You weren't really looking at like dirt sheets or wrestling message boards all the time. Sometimes, not all the time. And I remember my mother, God rest her soul as well, telling me in the morning before we went to school, I was in eighth grade at the time, hey, you know, a wrestler died. And I'm like, no, I didn't hear who passed. And she obviously didn't know. So I spent the first 4 hours of my day in fear that the wrestler who died was Eddie Guerrero. Because I just knew, you know, the second that she said it, my heart sank and said, you know, Eddie, you know. And found out later in the day that it was Eddie, and still couldn't believe it. I had to wait until Raw aired that night and hear the, you know, the 10 bells tolling and the confirmation that indeed Eddie had been gone. And very few celebrity passings like hit me. Michael's obviously did because, well, Michael Jackson's Michael Jackson. Kobe really fucked me up because, you know, I was a 6-year-old kid styling my fro like Kobe Bryant, and here Kobe's gone. Eddie was someone that, you know, what he's been through, you know how hard he fought to live, and he still did not. And it was very hard as a wrestling fan, as someone who loved Eddie as a performer from his days in WCW. My brother was a big Chris Benoit fan. He loved Chris Benoit. He loved his style of work. I loved Eddie, and I loved Eddie's charisma. And to no longer have that, it's been 16 years, and it's still hard to think, like, man, imagine if Eddie was, you know, even around for this era, obviously even old as shit. He been, what, like 54? So he probably wouldn't be working. Like, well, how old is Ray, actually? No, Ray's not even 50 yet, so Ray's good. Ray's good. But had he been able to, you know, work with Cena in Cena's prime, or, you know, been able to touch any one of the Shield, like, you know, you think about that and you think about how illustrious Eddie's career would have continued to be. And then obviously, you know, Vicky and Shawl and the rest of his daughters, like, it really was a massive blow for professional wrestling, for professional wrestling fans. And it's something, obviously, you go on Twitter, as we did the other day when the anniversary rolled around, and there's still an outpouring of love and respect for Eddie Guerrero. Whenever his birthday rolls around in October, there's so much love that goes out for Eddie. So Eddie was very impactful in his short 38 years on this earth.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I remember it very well. You know, I was at my friend's house on Sunday, you know, just hanging out and watching Bears or whatever. You know, going over there, play MVP baseball or whatever, just mess around.
Great game.
Yeah.
Fucking great game.
It was always cool to go over there because, you know, his dad was really into computers. So, like, him, his brother, and his mom, and his dad all had their own computers. So, like, if you're not playing MVP baseball, you can just kind of be on the computer by yourself. So, you know, I was one of those kids that was looking at the dirt sheets and the forums and stuff. And, yeah, just kind of came across. And it's like, okay, like, that's weird. I don't believe it. And then you go to WWE.com and it's there. And it's just like, okay. I didn't really know how to process it. You know, I hadn't really dealt with something like that. And you know, I've talked about it. I talked about it when we started, like, Eddie coming back is pretty much like right when I started watching. So, you know, I saw that whole second run. And yeah, I mean, you know, you talk about the celebrity deaths. I think it's this one and Kobe are the only ones that have really hit me to the point where I don't know that I'm over either of them yet. Like, I did try to watch the tribute shows. I made it through the 10 bell salute and the video, and I just, on Raw, and I just couldn't do it. I didn't
even watch it. I watched the you know, they did Johnny Cash's Hurt, mm-hmm, on Monday Night Raw, and that's really good. That's one that, like, has always stuck with me, and that's one of the reasons why I love that song so much. But I've come around to the Three Doors Down that they did on SmackDown with Here Without You. I really love that one. Just it hits all the spots. But yeah, I didn't watch either.
I thought maybe I could, but yeah, no, it's still it's too hard, man. You know, everyone's out on the ramp at the beginning, and just it's emotional. And you know, I'm glad you brought it up, because I did think as well, like, you know, what would his next 5 or 10 years have looked like? You know, he would have been around at least a few more years. He was allegedly going to face Michaels at WrestleMania 22.
Something that had never happened before.
Yeah. How crazy would that have been? And, you know, maybe theoretically for a title, maybe it would have been the cross promotional match, but how crazy would a Shawn Michaels and Eddie Guerrero match had been?
Just like a babyface, like, let's see who's better between the two of us. Like,
exactly.
Yeah. In Rosemont, like,
oh my God, that would have torn the fucking horizon down.
Especially considering we know how that crowd reacted that whole night.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. the thing.
It would have just been red hot.
Yeah.
And, you know, the rumor always was that he was supposed to win the title at the Super Show.
Yeah, that's the thing, too. He was ready. You know, I was reading a little bit of The Observer, you know, for the one that they paid tribute to him. And, yeah, he told Stephanie, you know, I'm ready. I can handle it this time. You know, because the big thing about his first title run is just the pressure got to be too much for him, and he had to drop it to JBL. But he's like, you know, I'm ready. I can do it now. And this is not fair. I mean, it's one of those things in life that just sometimes things aren't fair.
Exactly.
You know, and I mean, we'll talk over the next couple of years about the implications it has, you know, in the company. Obviously, a lot of things change.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, I think, you know, he probably, like, he wouldn't still be working today, I don't think, but we probably would have gotten maybe something with Andrade at some point. I think that was a natural fit.
Possible.
You know, he would have came back.
With Ray being around still.
Yeah.
We could have introduced him in that foray. So even with Dominic.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he would have been a welcome presence, obviously. And,
It's a shame.
Yeah.
It's a shame. You know, when I found out, I was obviously just on my computer in my room. It was very hard to process. It sucked. Tribute shows you know, they were very emotional and whatnot. I remember I had conversations with people in my homeroom the next morning about it because they all knew I was a wrestling fan. So, you know, they were actually pretty, you know, solid conversations, not really like mocking or whatever, because you know how kids were back then wrestling sometimes when you were in 05 versus how it was like in 98 when you were growing up or whatever. So,
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's one of those things, like you said, it's just life isn't fair. And I mean, it wasn't in this case at all whatsoever. His presence still to this day, 16 years later, is sorely missed. And it's just a shame.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, you see his influence just in so many people.
Of course, yeah, of course.
You know, they bring it up with Sasha constantly, but it just...
I mean, it's there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And like I said, you know, it was cool. You know, so many people did these tribute spots, you know, and yeah, it's just a bummer. I mean, this is a show that I've been really dreading since we started this whole thing 3 years ago. So it sucks.
It's crazy how it kind of... you know, came up very fast. And I didn't, you know, that's a testament to how time flies. And then, you know, you watch the growth. And there's been a lot of growth within us individually as a collective, you know, to be here, I think, is a very important date for us. You know, because we've been watching this almost 4 years now, 4 years of pro wrestling from 2002 all the way through 2005. And this was obviously a spot that we were dreading, but we were there when Eddie came back.
Mm-hmm.
We were there when Eddie got himself together and he was able to come back and be on his ball. And now we are here when Eddie transitions. And it is super hard, but you know, we've done the best that we can in terms of, you know, picturing his career in the lens that it needs to be, because this second run was really incredible, really was, as much as people didn't understand, at least on a bigger level, on a greater level, how great Eddie was before that. You definitely knew that afterwards. So I want to ask, you know, you guys finally watched the Halloween Havoc match, and that's crazy to me. She never seen it.
I've seen it a lot of times. Rob saw it first.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Yeah. So what are you guys' favorite Eddie Guerrero matches?
Yeah. I mean, you know, after Full Gear ended, I went back and I watched the Eddie against Brock match. That one's still awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the match at No Mercy. The tag match, great stuff. You know, the Halloween Havoc match definitely stands out as well. It's just, you know, there's so much stuff out there that I haven't even seen yet. But yeah, just of the things I've seen, like, you know, I think the angle match at WrestleMania 20 is still very good, and it's cool to see him, you know, get that moment. I know the ending is the ending of that show is tarnished now. But you know, it was cool when it happened. Yeah, I mean, the street fight with Edge, I think. Was
yes, really... the No DQ match.
Yes.
No DQ match. SmackDown, yeah. September 25th, 2002.
Mm-hmm.
If you could also throw in the parking lot brawl.
Yeah, yes.
That's a brawl. Very memorable match. You know, him and Dean Malenko have 30-minute draws in ECW. I implore you guys to go find those because they were really good matches. The tag match that he did with Art Barr and AAA. I'm trying to remember the opponents he had. But that also was a pretty solid match. Him and Art Barr were a really good tag team. If you guys just, you know, on a whim, feel like going back and watching old WCW matches with him and Art Barr, they're really good.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I like the JBL matches, I think, too. I mean, they're tough to watch, some of them.
Yeah.
But you know, his match with Kurt Angle from the SmackDown I was at in 2005 will always be special because I saw it in person. It was excellent. You know, the Ray matches, the SummerSlam one in particular, is very good. It's a lot better than I remembered it being.
Yep.
The WrestleMania 21 match, I think, is still very good.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Just.
Yeah. I mean, the Fatal 4-Way with Guerrero, Benoit, Edge, and Angle on SmackDown to determine the number one contender for the WWE title before Armageddon 2002 was amazing. The Eddie and Tajiri against World's Greatest Tag Team from Judgment Day 2003, I believe it was really good.
Mm-hmm.
I know him and obviously him and Malenko had great WCW matches with one another. I mean, it may not be like one of the greatest matches ever, but Rock versus Eddie from Raw.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah.
The one gem that they had.
That little feud they had was very good.
It was very, very entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
That's a nice little one that, you know, maybe not is not publicized that often, but it's a fun watch because it's The Rock versus Eddie Guerrero.
Yeah.
Right. And it's the only time we see it. Exactly. He had some stuff with Stone Cold, I believe, also.
Yes.
So if you go back and watch that, it's really fun. excuse me. You mentioned, Rob, that you saw him in 2005, the match with Kurt. And I was actually at the house show before that in Chicago in January when he's still teaming with Booker. And he and Booker, I want to say, teamed against the Bashams. And obviously, they won. And, you know, they're playing to the crowd afterwards. And Booker's teaching Eddie how to do a spinneroo. And, you know, that is just going to be one of my favorite Eddie Guerrero moments, is watching him epically fail to do a spinneroo. And, you know, obviously, you know, it's wrestling. He knows he's going to fuck it up. But, like, Eddie was such a showmanship, such a showman. And he loved being able to get in front of live crowds and being able to perform, being able to put smiles on faces. And that is what I'm remembering him for. But I say that to ask, you know, what are you guys' favorite moments out of his career? I mean, it doesn't have to be the title win, obviously the title win, but, like, you know, some of the skits he used to do, or you know, I saw Bischoff. I thought Bischoff, that was a nice little yeah. IG message with the yeah. call. When I next time I see you, coffee's on me. That's a little bit funny.
Yeah, I think, you know, just all like the stuff with Chavo, especially once when they're heels, but once they like turned and just kind of embraced like the lying and cheating and stealing stuff, that was all just super entertaining. You know, anytime he did the hit the chair against the mat and throw it to the guy stuff, because it wasn't really something that anyone was doing. Like, that's the thing. It was unique, and he was entertaining, he was charismatic, and yeah, I mean, just a great worker, man. Just,
yeah,
that's the thing. Like, and again, I'm glad his influence on the business still comes through.
Agreed, wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
All right, we will leave it off on that. Rest in peace, Eddie. We miss you. We love you. We'll see you one day on the other side. Once again, man, RIP Dolph, because that's a terrible, terrible loss for hip hop. Maybe we'll be back next week to talk. It's Thanksgiving, so, like, I'm not really sure. It's weird. But you'll hear from us again, man. You'll also hear from me and Chris. We'll get together. We'll recap the last couple months of the top 25 on the Patreon, patreon.com/barbershairnetwork. New 2-minute drill should be out the same time as this. We haven't gotten around to putting it up yet, but that should be out. We'll preview tonight's game against the Patriots, between the Patriots and the Falcons. So glad Chris got off that narcotic. And then we'll preview the rest of this weekend in pro football. I'm at Cameron Santo. Rob's at Rob1031. Chris is at Chris M. Novak. You can follow the Barbershare at BarbershareNet on Twitter and Instagram, facebook.com/BarbershareDigital. Thank you guys for joining us again. This is a very hard episode. Obviously, we got through it. And long live Eddie Guerrero. This has been Ruthless Aggression. For Rob and Chris, I am Pierce. If we don't see you before Thanksgiving, happy Thanksgiving. Please eat up all the yams. All the sweet potato yams. We'll see you guys later.